if God has touched you, if you have felt the touch of Jesus Christ and He has made you whole with that touch, shout and say amen.
Amen.
If you've not experienced that, oh, friends, you can have that. You can experience a touch of Jesus Christ. He's not physically standing in where we can see Him, but oh, His Spirit is here. His Spirit is here. His Spirit can touch deep into whatever issue you've got. I know that. I know that. He touched me and made me whole, and I've never been the same. I need to preach to you today concerning a train of thought that I have noticed in several conversations, not just one or two. And if you're in this room today and you and I have had this conversation, please just know that you're not the only one. I've had several conversations over the last probably 4 to 5 weeks over this issue, this thing that I'm going to talk to you about today. It seems that many people have a misunderstanding concerning the grace of God. Okay, and I want to try to clear up some of that confusion this morning if I can. There's a story of an actual event in the life of Jesus that we find in the book of John. If you'll turn with me to John chapter 8, I'd like to read the first 11 verses this morning. And if you don't have a copy of God's Word, you can follow on the screens. However, if you'd like a Bible, folks, we keep Bibles stocked. We go down and we purchase Bibles and keep them stocked in the office so that if somebody says, I don't happen to have one, that's a problem that's easily solved. I would like nothing more than to put a copy of God's Word into your hand, free of charge. Free of charge. That's a little expense that we make because it is a huge benefit to you to be able to have God's Word in your hand. Okay? Would you please stand in the honor of God's Word as I read this morning, John chapter 8, verses 1 through 11. But Jesus went to the Mount of Olives at dawn. He appeared again in the temple courts where all the people gathered around Him, and He sat down to teach them. The teachers of the law and the Pharisees brought in a woman caught in adultery. They made her stand before the group and said to Jesus, Teacher, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. In the law, Moses commanded us to stone such a woman. Now what do you say? They were using this question as a trap in order to have a basis for accusing Him. But Jesus bent down and He started to write on the ground with His finger. When they kept questioning Him, He straightened up and said to them, Let any one of you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her. Again, He stooped down and wrote on the ground. At this, those who heard began to go away one at a time, the older ones first, until only Jesus was left with the woman standing there. Jesus straightened up and asked her, Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you? No one, sir, she said. Then neither do I condemn you, Jesus declared. Go now and leave your life of sin. You may be seated. May God bless the reading of His Word this morning. Several things we can get in this passage. The first is we have this woman that was caught in the act of adultery, and they've brought her and ready to stone her in front of the town, and they bring her to Jesus, ready to stone her. My only question about that would be, she was not caught in the act of adultery alone, was she? Surely there was somebody else there. Where's the dude? I don't get that, okay? I don't get that. I mean, I do understand what was going on there. Doesn't make it right. This story is about a woman who was caught in adultery. And she doesn't defend her position. She doesn't come and say, these people have wrongly accused me, Lord. She doesn't come and say, it didn't happen that way. She doesn't deny her position. She doesn't say, there was somebody else too. She knows what she is. And she is at the mercy of the law. The mercy of the law. The law, they quoted the law. They said, the law says we have to stone this woman. And she's at the mercy of the law until Jesus steps in. Remember that. You're at the mercy of the law until Jesus steps in. Right? Now, maybe you're not a woman and you can't directly identify with this woman in the story. Maybe you've never committed adultery and can't directly identify with this woman either. Maybe you have, and you actually can identify this woman. The truth is that every one of us can identify with this woman. She sinned and is absolutely guilty. She deserves punishment. The Bible tells us that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All, that three little word, A-L-L, all have sinned. That means you, that means me, that means the person sitting next to you, that means the person that's not even here, that means the person down at Walmart. Everybody has sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We're all guilty and we all deserve punishment until Jesus steps in. God said, a price will be paid. A price must be paid. And it was. It was paid. It was paid by His own Son, Jesus, who hung on a cross with nails driven through His hands and through His feet. And He did that. And it wasn't like He went unwilling. It wasn't like they drug Him to the cross against His own will. He knew that that was His purpose. He came. He spent 33 years walking this earth, teaching and demonstrating and showing love to people. And His final act, His ultimate act of love here on this earth was to voluntarily go and be slaughtered for you and for me. He did it for you, for me, for the destitute, for the rich, for the good people, and for the bad people, as we might label them. All right? One question is, why would He do that for me? Why would He do that for me? The answer is simply love. Not love in a sense that you can fully comprehend, but a pure, sacrificial love that comes only from the Father. I cannot fully grasp it myself, but I receive it, and I believe it, and I am overwhelmed by it. Another question that comes up is, can this really be that easy? Is it really that easy that I just come to Jesus and He forgives me? And let me answer that question by saying that it wasn't easy. It was not easy. Jesus suffered immense pain and anguish in giving His life for us, knowing all along and very full well that many would never choose to let His sacrifice cover their sins. That would be anguish enough to be hanging there, knowing down the road that there would be people that would just despise Him and not accept what He was giving them, the greatest gift ever. He worked hard to make sure that it was not hard for us to choose Him. So what gets in the way is guilt, shame, embarrassment, self-condemnation. It's that evil little voice that tells us we're not good enough to deserve this gift. But I got to tell you straightforward. When we begin to believe that it could not be that easy, or that I have to do something else, or that my stuff is too bad for forgiveness, what we are doing is cheapening the grace of God. We are saying that the blood of Jesus is not good enough for someone like me. We're saying that it may wash out the dirt, but I've got ground-in stains that'll never come out. There's a song on the Christian radio these days, and it's sung by Natalie Grant, and I want to read these lyrics to you this morning. The lyrics say that, I'm not going to try to sing it to you because it might turn some of you out. She says, I see shattered you, see whole. I see broken, you see beautiful. And you're helping me to believe. You're restoring me piece by piece. There's nothing too dirty that you can't make worthy. You washed me in mercy. I am clean. What was dead now lives again. My heart's beating, beating inside my chest. Oh, I'm coming alive with joy and destiny because you're restoring me piece by piece. No, there's nothing too dirty that you can't make worthy. You washed me in mercy. I am clean. Washed in the blood of your sacrifice, your blood flowed red and made me white. My dirty rags are purified. I am clean. I love that song. And I want everyone here today to be able to believe that you are clean. Not of your own doing. It's the blood of Jesus that makes you clean. It's better than ALL. Y'all remember that commercial, the laundry detergent? It's better than ALL. It's better than OxyClean. Y'all, you've seen the commercials. OxyClean, we gets the stains out. You put it in there and it gets the stains out. Folks, this stuff's better than OxyClean. It's better than Dawn dish soap, which they rubbed all over the ducts that were in the oil spill and got them clean. But folks, there's some stuff that Dawn won't get out. There's some stuff that OxyClean won't cure. There's some stuff that ALL cannot dissolve. But the blood of Jesus Christ works. Now, I can't fully explain why or how God does what He does. All I can do is believe what He says. And here's what He says in Romans chapter 8, verse 1. He says, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. I want to highlight this. I want to make a plaque out of it, and I want to put it on everybody's wall. There is now no condemnation. I don't want to capitalize that too. No condemnation. Italicize and bold. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. None. None whatsoever. No condemnation. Not from you, not from anybody else. Certainly not from the Lord. And He's the one that counts. He's the one that counts. Christ is the most I cannot wrap my mind fully around what He's done. I cannot wrap it. Why would He do that for me? Maybe I don't need to understand it. I just believe that He did. And He loves me. But I can't really understand that love because I can't give that kind of love. I want to try, and I try, and I fail, but He never fails. He never fails. One of the most important statements in this story that we read today is how Jesus sends her on her way. Okay? And I gotta focus on this a minute. At the very last, He says, neither do I condemn you. Now, go and leave your life of sin. He didn't say, listen, get the order right. He didn't say, leave your life of sin and then come back and we'll talk about forgiveness. He didn't say, go and get cleaned up and get all this issue settled and then come back to me. He doesn't say to us, you need to straighten your life out. And when you get straightened out, then you come to God because He wants you to come clean and pure and all that. Folks, He's the one that makes us pure. He knows we're dirty. He says, I don't condemn you. Just as you are, I don't condemn you. Now go and change. Now go and change. He said, I don't condemn you. Now in light of that, in light of the fact that I don't condemn you, now go and live a changed life. You got the order. You got it? You're forgiven when you come to Christ. Throw yourself at the mercy, understanding what the law says and understanding what God's mercy can do. Throw yourself at the mercy of Christ. Hear Him say, I don't condemn you. Now go and live. Live a different life. Lead a different life away from the sin that you've been doing. There are many in this world who want the first part of that statement. They want to hear, I don't condemn you. They want to hear, you're forgiven. They want to hear, it is done, it is finished. But that's all they want to hear. They don't want to hear the rest of the statement. They're unwilling to follow the rest where it says, leave your life of sin. That's when the grace of God gets disgraced. That's when the grace of God gets spat upon. That's when the grace of God is seen as cheap. It's when the grace of God is seen as taken lightly. It's disregarded. It's when the grace of God is rejected. Oh, we are guilty of many things. But let us not be guilty of disgracing the grace of God. Let us receive His mercy and believe that it is more than enough, even for someone like me. Even for someone like me. Let's do like this woman and fall at the feet of Jesus Christ and allow Him to fully restore us into a right relationship with the Father. Understanding that by the law, we have fallen short. Just like the Bible says we have. We've all fallen short. Just by the law, I have broken God's law. I have displeased Him in some manner. And I understand that God says the wages of sin is what? Death. I'm definitely guilty. There's no doubt about it. I don't deny it. What do? I throw myself at the mercy of Jesus Christ. Let us come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Leave behind your regrets and mistakes. Come today. There's no reason to wait. Jesus is calling. He is. Bring your sorrows and trade them for joy. From the ashes, a new life is born. Jesus is calling. That's a song that I believe we're going to sing here in just a moment, folks. I want to invite you to come to the altar. I want to invite you to come for prayer. I would love to pray with you. How do you respond to a call like that? Jesus is calling. How do you respond to a call like that? It's your choice. It's your choice. I just want to say, you're invited to come. To come. To come to the altar. Throw yourself at the mercy of Jesus Christ. Folks, we're all guilty. There's not one person in this room. Agnes, I love you, sweetheart. But the Bible tells me you're guilty. But Jesus also says, I don't condemn you because I know Miss Agnes. And I know she, when she does something that displeases the Lord, I don't know that I've ever seen it or witnessed it, but surely the Bible's true, right? Okay? Surely, if that ever happens, I know the first thing she's going to do is repent. She's going to come to the Lord and say, Lord, forgive me. I don't know what happened. I don't know how that happened, but it wasn't right. Forgive me. And God's going to say to her, I don't condemn you. You are forgiven. Now go and leave your life of sin. Folks, that's what He says to each and every one of us. It doesn't matter if you're the most saintly person in the room or you're the most destitute and hardest, hardcore sinner in the room. God's words, God's blood, Jesus, the blood of Jesus Christ is good enough. Amen. And it's all you need. If you say this, well, I need the blood of Jesus Christ and I need to, folks, whatever else after that's a lie. Whatever else after that is a lie. There is nothing else. Nothing else could replace the blood of Jesus Christ, and nothing else is added to the blood of Jesus Christ for your forgiveness. Come to the altar today. I'm asking you to get out of your seats and come to the altar today. When we stand and sing, I'm going to ask you to come to the altar. Guess what? If I walk down there, people will know that I'm a sinner. They'll know you're a sinner who's seeking forgiveness.
Amen.
There's nothing. She wasn't embarrassed. She knew. She was in a place. Listen, she was in a place where she said, I have no choice. I have been found out. I am guilty. I don't deny it, and I am here. And she throws herself at the mercy of the only thing, the only person that could save her. And she heard the words, neither do I condemn you. Go. Leave your life of sin. Folks, the altar is going to be open. I'm going to be standing here. I'm going to ask Rebecca to come stand with me. We would love to pray with you. I know that there are other people in this room. If you feel comfortable and you would like to go to someone else and have them pray for you, absolutely. This is your time. This is your time. It's your choice. How do you choose to respond to the call of Jesus Christ that says, come to me. Come to me. You've been wearing yourself out. Come to me. My load's a lot easier. Come on. How do you respond to that? As you stand, I'm going to pray for you. Father in heaven, Lord, I pray for us today in this room. I pray, Lord, that we would no longer believe the lies that tell us that we are too dirty. I pray, Father, we would no longer believe the lies that says there's something else that has to be done. I must work hard at it to be forgiven. Lord, help us to believe the truth that forgiveness comes from you, and that's your call. And you have promised that you would forgive when we come in repentance. Repentance is not just saying, I'm sorry. Repentance is not coming saying, well, I wish I hadn't have got caught. Repentance is coming to you and saying, this is what I've done, agreeing with you that what I did was wrong. And repentance is saying, and I'm no longer going to do that. I want to turn from that and go in the other direction. That's what repentance is. And Father, you promised us when we repent, you hear us and you forgive. So Father, I pray that today in this very room, there will be people that would be forgiven, that have sought forgiveness. There will be people who would be forgiven, who have been too ashamed to ask for forgiveness. I pray, Father, there will be people in this room that would believe that they have been forgiven when they have been pleading and pleading and pleading over and over and over again. And it's already been forgiven. I pray, Father, they would believe that in their heart. Father, you've been active in this place today. Father, I beg you, don't stop now. Move in us, Lord, as we sing in Jesus' name.